All right, Genesis chapter 10. Having considered the fall and the recovery of Noah, the sin of Ham, and the curse placed upon his heritage because of his unbelief of God, seeing the actions of Shem and Japheth, who were found to be faithful only by the grace of God and his good pleasure to keep them from falling. Now we're going to enter into a portion of scripture. It deals with the fulfillment of the prophecy of God through Noah concerning his three sons. Noah has died, and the Lord is going to replenish the earth through the three sons of Noah, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. And in this chapter, we're going to see the dealings of Almighty God with all men according to his good pleasure to either have mercy and compassion or to leave a man or woman to themselves. Scripture declares concerning God's right to do that very thing. Romans chapter 9 verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does God have the right? Out of the same lump, all men were created by God. They all come from Adam. And they're in the hands of God Almighty. God does as he will. Now tonight we're going to mainly consider, I'm going to mention a thing or two about Ham, but I want to consider the heritage of Japheth, the father of the Gentiles. That's what verse 5 says in Genesis chapter 10. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, and it was concerning, verse 2 says, the sons of Japheth. So here we see, or we're going to see, how the Lord was pleased through Japheth to set the Gentiles where he was pleased to place it. Gentiles. The scripture, hold your place right here. Just turn to Ephesians. These are the ones that the apostle Paul wrote to in Ephesians chapter 2. Gentiles. Listen to what he says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He says to the church at Ephesus, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So Japheth is the father of the Gentiles, natural Gentiles, but he is a picture, Japheth. He's a picture of the elect Gentiles. Actually the father of the Gentiles, but a picture and type of the elect Gentiles. Apostle Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 2 saying to these Gentiles, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of one new man, so making peace. So Noah's prophecy, which, like I said, was God's prophecy through Noah, concerning his son, Japheth, was that he would be the father of the Gentiles. He would be found to be in the tent was Shem, who was of the bloodline of Christ, the father of the actual physical Jews, the national Jews. Shem was where the Jews came from. Japheth was where the Gentiles come up, and I'll tell you what Ham sets forth in just a second. But this man Japheth, now he's got the commission from God. He's going to be in the replenishing of the earth. That's where the Gentiles are going to come from. Now, Paul and Barnabas were preaching and talking about now these Gentiles. They were preaching in Antioch, and they had some opposition from unbelieving Jews. I'm going to turn and read out of Acts 13 if you'd like to read this. God had sent the gospel to the Jews. That's where it went first, to the Jews. We're going to read this in just a second. Acts chapter 13. But God's got a people. He's got a people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And he's going to call out some Jews, Gentiles. So he's preaching in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, and verse 44 to 48, it says, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So here we're going to see the Gentiles. Where did they come from? Paul went, Barnabas, they went, they were commissioned to go preach to the Jews. But when the Jews would not hear what was being said, Paul says, we're going to the Gentiles. They were glad. They were glad. There was some trouble there because of it. But this proves, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So the historical account of these three men, if it was for no other reason but just to say, well, it was just where the God was putting the world, and if it was, where would the glory of Christ be in this? So this is what we're looking for. We want to look past the natural origin of the Jews and behold the spiritual origin of the elect Jews concerning the good pleasure of God. Now, again, I want you to keep this in your mind as we go through these first five verses right here. Shem is the father. It was from Shem that the Jews came. All Jews, natural Jews, the nation of Judah, Jews, Israelites, all of them. They came from Shem, the physical Jews. But the descendants of Shem is a picture and a type of the spiritual Jews. That's, you know, Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29 concerning Jews, you know, the Jews put all of their heritage and all of their faith and everything in being from Abraham. Well, might as well have said the same thing about Shem. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So a man is not a child of God. He's not righteous before God, accepted of God, justified before God, merely because he's a natural Jew. God gave the sign of circumcision to Abraham, and that sign of circumcision, what was it? It was the sign of God's favor to a people according to an everlasting covenant of grace that God had looked upon them in favor. Well, all the Jews were circumcised. But Paul, we just read what Paul said, circumcision is not, that don't make you a spiritual Jew just because you're circumcised. But a spiritual circumcision is of the heart. It's a belief that Almighty God has shown mercy to me according to His good will and pleasure. So a true Jew, one regenerated spiritually by the power and grace of God, to come and to see by faith that salvation is of the Lord, and one that renounces all confidence in the flesh, that's a spiritual Jew, a true Jew. So if somebody says to anybody that's a believer, are you a spiritual Jew? Yeah. Yes, I am. That's what I am. That's what a spiritual Jew is. Ham, okay, you remember the sin of Ham. We dealt with that last time. Ham is set forth as those who are found to be in the world who opposes God, God's gospel, God's word, God's people. And they are like Ham, that they mock God. They mock His word. They mock His gospel. They mock His people. He saw his dad. He saw that his dad was naked. And he went and he told his brothers he didn't believe God. And God placed a curse on Ham's family. So we realize that from these three boys, we're seeing everybody in this world. Spiritually speaking, we see everybody. Shem, father of the Jews nationally, but spiritually the elect Jews. Japheth, father of the Gentiles, nationally speaking, just regular Gentiles. That's where they all came from. But Japheth is a picture of the elect Gentiles. And Ham, those that oppose and hate God and His people, whether they're Jew or Gentile, nationally speaking, just regular people born in this world. Those that oppose God, whether they're a national Jew or a national Gentile, they're spiritually of Ham. That's Ham. So you see Shem, a spiritual Jew. Japheth, a spiritual Gentile. Ham, unregenerate Jew or Gentile. That's the spiritual part of this. So let's just look now. Now that I've laid a little foundation, let's just look at these verses. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. And then verse 2 says, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. Now here's Japheth, and he's got some sons. And the scripture sets forth, this first one is Gomer. His name means complete. Complete or completion. And according to the ancient writers, I tried to find out where these were. Probably these were the ancestors of the Galatians. That in time, the Apostle Paul went and preached to them, and God raised up a church there. They settled in the place called Cappadocia, a place that was mentioned on the day of Pentecost. Remember when the Lord came in power, the Spirit of God, and He gave Peter and those men the power, the gift to speak in tongues, that they could speak in languages that they had never learned. That's what they weren't. It wasn't this gibberish that nobody understands. It was they were speaking in languages that they themselves were real languages, but they'd never learned them. But God gave them the gift, and the men, they said, you know, these men are Galileans. I know they're Galileans. And we hear them in our tongues. And so they were from Cappadocia. All right, well, then there was a man named Magog. And then these were the ones that were identified with the Scythians. And then Madai, they were the Medes, the Persians. Javan, they were the Greeks. and Tubal and Meshech. They inhabited Pontus, which was another place that was mentioned on the day of Pentecost, and the districts of Asia Minor. Tyrus was identified by the historian Josephus, I found, with a group called the Thracians, but actually what they were just sea pirates. They were just a rough group of people. They were just pirates of the Aegean Sea. And then in verse 3, it says, in the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Ripha, and Togarma. Now, these three boys right here, Ashkenaz was one that settled in the region of Germany. And Riphath were the Celts who dwelt originally in the Carpathian Mountains and the region of Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Hungary. And Togarma, the land of the Armenians, where actually they were in Turkey. And then verse 4 says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. Elisha settled in the mountains of the southern peninsula of Greece that connected central Greece by the Isthmus of Corinth. This region, it was also mentioned, I found in Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 7, it says, fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that thou spreadest forth to be thy sail, blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. So that, I mean, they were very talented people. The Lord gifted them to be industrious. The son Tarsus, this was to be the families who colonized the eastern and southern part of Spain and northern Italy. Kittim was the region of Cyprus, and then the island of the eastern Mediterranean Sea, south of Turkey. And Dodanim, they settled the land of Serbia and Greece. And then the scripture says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Now, I wanted to make a point to look up where these people were from. The Spirit of God was pleased to put them in there. And he didn't put them in there for me just to, you know, to glaze over them. And Lord willing, next week, I'm going to be looking at a major portion of this 10th chapter and 11th chapter together. So I probably won't go into that, but I wanted to take these first five verses right here and show where the Lord strategically placed each of these families, where he raised them up and where they were. So according to the Spirit's revelation of the lands inhabited by the sons of Japheth, they were the isles of the Gentiles. So if you start looking at where they were in Italy and Greece and southern part of Spain and all that eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea, they were all that area that's just, you know, kind of surrounds the Mediterranean Sea. They were coastline people. They had gone into that Mediterranean, into Europe, basically where they were. And the scripture says they gathered together everyone after his tongue. Now let me tell you what's amazing about what we just read in that fifth verse right there. They were the isles of the Gentiles, verse 5, divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue. Now, what we're going to find, whenever you look at verse 1 of chapter 11, the scripture says the whole earth was of one language, one speech. And you know what's amazing about that? We're just looking in verse 10, and these people were settled where they did according to their tongue. So what the Spirit of God has been pleased to do has given us some information that actually took place after chapter 11. Chapter 11, we will go back and find out what happened at the Tower of Babel. You know what happened. But there was one language. There was only one language. And what we're looking at right here, these people were sent and they went And the Greeks and those from Cappadocia and those from Serbia, they didn't speak the same language. They all settled according to their language and their tongue. But this, what we're reading right here, obviously took place after the next chapter. So we'll see. We'll see how that is. But I wanted to show you that this is where they are. They're all after their own their own tongue and language. But here's what we see spiritually. In your mind, think about where they are. Think about the Mediterranean Sea and think about, okay, the way you're looking at it, here's the Mediterranean Sea, and then here's Spain over here, and then here's Italy down here, and then you're going to come up, and here's, you're going to have Greece, and you're going to have, up here, you're going to have Poland and Germany, and all of this area, Europe, just all of this area right here. And here is the Lord in His good providence to place the sons of Jacob exactly where He did, where He purposed for them to be. Ephesians 1:11, it says, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, He placed them where He did, because in time, and we'd see this, we won't read it tonight, but I'll tell you what happens. You take the book of Acts, God raised up a man named Paul. And Paul, this was all the area where all of these trips that the Apostle Paul took, it was to all these Gentiles. And that's where he was going. He went to Cappadocia, and he went to Ephesus, and he went to all of these places. And God raised up churches in the book of Acts 17. I mean, the Lord told him to go and replenish the earth. And they did. They did. These Gentiles went. But why did they go there? Why did they go where they were? Acts 17, verse 24 to 27. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of them. Why did God put these Gentiles where He did? He was going to send the gospel to them. And that's, He raised up Paul. And He put, let me ask you this. Why did the Lord put you where He put you? As I've said before, it has always amazed me of the good pleasure of God when the Lord is pleased to raise up a church, send a pastor, send the gospel to a place. He puts people in that community. He puts a group like this. And here you are living here. And in the good timing of God, the Lord raised up a pastor from this area. And then He was pleased to send me. That amazes me. But sent me here. But you're all from here. I'm pretty much. You say, well, I'm not from here. Well, I'm not from here either. By and large, most of you are. I know you are, Charlie and Lynn. I know you are, Mitch. You. All of you. You're from here. This is where the Lord put them. He put them all together in that region. And then sent Paul, the apostle. He went here and here and here and here and here. Just kind of, and he preached to God. Why? That they might seek the Lord. That God would call them out. So nothing is accidental in this world. The Lord told them, you replenish the earth. He didn't leave it up to them. Well, I think I'll go over here. Now, well, we're going up here. No, you're going to go just exactly where the Lord puts you. So the Lord orders all these events, and places men and women where he's pleased, because out of all that group, out of all these people that came out of Japheth, God had a people. They were Gentiles. And God is going to send he sent the gospel to the Jews first. But he knew what was going to happen. But according to his will and purpose, he was going to save some Gentiles. And so he puts them where he puts them. And then he sends a preacher. So all of these families of Japheth were where they were because of the good pleasure of God to call out his elect. Why? Why? The scripture says in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing to behold, even in man's rebellion against God, God looked and he saw that every imagination of all men was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man. He said, I'm going to destroy man and beast. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. One man. And God was going to bless that man to have three sons that he was going to set forth in those three sons God's good pleasure to do what he will with whom he will. Three sons. One of them is going to be the father of the Jews. God's going to send the gospel to them first. One of them is going to be the father of the Gentiles, of which God is going to call a people out of them too to show that God has mercy on whom he will. And one of them is going to be a son left to himself in rebellion to show that God is just. And these three sons, we see the totality of God's pleasure to deal with mankind. And I pray that this evening, that those little five verses right there, just showing where God put some people around this area in Europe, how God was pleased to call out a people according to get his good pleasure for his glory and our good. Amen.